This is Sam from the Mask and Journey podcast, and our goal with the podcast is help you to try to find your way in this difficult world. Your Chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just seconds. Enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening and choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network. Kingdom Pursuits, where you hear from ordinary people instilled with an extraordinary passion. Together we explore the stories of men and women who take what they love and let God turn their passion into Kingdom Pursuits. Now, live from the Truth Booth, your host, Robbie Dillmore.
Wow, do we have an exciting Kingdom Pursuits for you today, this Father's Day Eve. We've got so many different things, but as my wife will tell you, I often make mistakes, and I've made one. I was supposed to talk about Amy's show today on the Christian Car Guy show. Since I forgot to do that, I'm going to highlight it right now and say, wow, if you will listen at 1 o'clock, guess what? Amy Cabo, The Cure, she has Alex McFarlane. Yes, Alex McFarlane. And his view on what all's going on in the culture right now, so you're not going to want to miss that. You can call in with all of what you're wanting to express to them. And at the number 866-348-7884. So, yes, 1 o'clock, The Cure with Amy Cabo and Alex McFarlane. She's going to be calling in here at 11:30 today as well. But first up today on today's show, we have Bruce Breinsma, and he is the author of Retirement Reformation. what a neat title. Welcome, Bruce.
Robbie, thank you. It's good to be with you and all your listeners. I think most of them are in North Carolina. Is that accurate?
Yes. Yes. We're on in Richmond as well. And we got a lot of listeners in South Carolina because the Charlotte station bleeds over, you know, over into there. And then there's a few stations that carry it off of the Salem satellite feed. So you never know because we've gotten some calls from interesting places over the years, but we got a lot of people out there.
Well, I was born in Durham, North Carolina, so it has just a special part of my heart, so I'm really glad to be with you.
Well, thank you. And so the Retirement Reformation is more than just a book to you, right? Isn't that kind of your life?
It certainly is. When you talk about extraordinary passion, I think you got it nailed as far as I'm concerned. The Retirement Reformation, the book, is simply a reflection of the passion that's built for any number of years and continues and will continue as we attempt to really impact the 30 million Christians that are approaching retirement or in it and really have not found their meaning and purpose.
Yeah, that's beautiful. So we're going to get to find out about that. And we've got Tracy Neal with us. And Tracy called me actually this week, if I'm not mistaken. And she, you live in South Carolina, right, Tracy?
I do. Columbia, South Carolina.
There you go. And you are a spoken word artist, you're the first spoken word artist I've ever talked to, but you tell me, so explain to our listeners, you know, your passion for that.
That started at an early age. It started when I was 14. I'm 31 now. So, but I claim Christian spoken word artist. There's a difference because I don't deny my faith. So even if I go on, like, open mic, whether they're faith-based or not, I claim my faith. So,
But for a lot of us, we don't know what a spoken word artist is, so share what that is.
The simple version is it's a poet, and I recite or I'll read a poem that I've written. That's the basic definition. I have to make it clear, I am not a rapper. Like that is very misconstrued, and I don't like it because I wear dresses and skirts. I definitely do not look like a rapper, nor do I carry myself like one. So I just have to say that.
There you go. And I have both Tracy and Bruce up at the website, kingdompursuits.com, and you can see, actually, she's a beautiful young lady. And so you're going to see that she looks nothing like a rapper, I can assure you. But it is Father's Day Eve. And so you knew that Robbie would at some point in time have to get this. And so, Bethann, you're going to love this. Speaking of Father's Day Twins.
Twins? That's two.
Twins. Yeah, we're double the fun today, Tracy and Bruce. So, I don't know if you knew this, but Ringo Starr, being the amazing drummer that he is, few people will know this actually, Beth Ann, but he secretly wanted twin girls.
Oh, he did?
He did. You know why?
Two girls. Uh-huh. Why?
So he could name them Anna 1, Anna 2.
Anna 3, 4, 5.
Come on, Tracy, you can laugh, you know, spoken laugh here. This is good stuff.
Hey, Robbie, that is really bad.
It gets worse, Bruce.
Yeah, so, you know, while they were in their mom's stomachs, I don't know if you thought about this, but they're kind of womb mates when you got twins.
Womb mates?
Womb mates, yeah.
With a W.
And had they been boys, right, they could have been either by sons or perhaps sunsets.
Well, I like the sunset.
All right, Bruce, we got one we like.
Yeah, I like
now you're going to really love this one. I think everybody's going to love this one. Now, had these twins been really sweet and creamy inside, naturally they would have been born to the Key family because, you guessed it, they've been Twinkies.
I got that one. I feel like I should get a prize.
Hey, listen, I can't wait to hear the spoken word poetry of
anything.
Anything other than However, after all these twins were born, their older sister needed medication for paranoia.
Paranoia.
Yeah, and Dracula's twins, everyone thought they'd be strange, but they were paranormal. There you go.
Paranormal.
So, aha.
Aha.
At the end of all that, you knew we would, in fact, have a riddle, which we do today, so you can call in and win. Which twin in the Bible tricked his brother? Which twin in the Bible tricked his brother because he was well healed? Which twin in the Bible tricked his brother because he, the other brother, was well healed? 866-348-7884. And if they guess that, Beth Ann, tell them what they'll win.
Oh, Robbie, perhaps a pair? No, they will be given one of the great prizes that we have inside and filled to the top at the Kingdom Pursuits Prize Closet.
There you go. All you got to do is call in about this twin, 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. So, Tracy.
Hey, Robbie, do you think we could send the winner a copy of my book?
We can. Absolutely. We would be delighted. So there you go. Not only do you get something from the Kingdom Pursuits Prize Closet, you get Bruce's book, Retirement Reformation. And we already have listeners calling in. So how wonderful. We're going to get to that in a second. But while we're doing that, Tracy, I know everybody's sitting here waiting on, you know, like, man, we need to hear some spoken word. So if you got something you want to share?
Sure. This kind of sums up my personal story.
Okay.
This poem is called God Did It. There was a time I thought about committing a serious crime by allowing my life to become society's mime to await the judgment seat. I felt so bad and my mind soon grew mad of all of my problems that I believed I had, causing me to share defeat. I had no friends, and even though I would lend my heart to others, they made it bend, which influenced me to drop to my feet. I was abused by those who would choose to misuse a nice girl that didn't want to get hate to beat. Some days I came home and cried as I wish I had died while I lied to my parents thinking there would be no repeat. I questioned God's presence and I refused to reverence him as my savior, being in my own imprudence because I couldn't take the heat. I tried to be accepted, but I was still rejected and my spirit became infected with sadness, wishing I would never have to keep taking the meat. I wondered when my worries would stop and make a flip-flop where my flower might finally bloom from the clock like a willful wheat. I did not know how to show my hurt for it not to grow, but I needed to find my tree. Then one day, God showed me the way, and he took my problems to put them on his tray to make me very neat. God took control and filled me up so whole until I knew I had to reach my goal for it to go in a fleet. Now I can smile and laugh a while because my pain has gone for miles, so I can give a greet.
That is...
See my Jesus sign, the resurrection sheet. I didn't have to bid it. I couldn't kid it. time wouldn't rent it, but my God did it.
He did it. Thank you, Vicki. When we come back, we're going to, excuse me, thank you, Tracy. When we come back, we got Vicki, and we got Bruce, and we got you. So everybody's going to be here. So stay tuned. You got so much more coming up on Kingdom Pursuit. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. Today, we're having a lot of fun on Father's Day Eve with Bruce Breinsma. He wrote the book Retirement Reformation, and Tracy Neal, who's, as you would have just heard if you listened to the last segment, an amazing spoken word poet. So we also have this riddle that is yet to be riddled, and so we have Vicki is in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Vicki, you're on Kingdom Pursuits. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm so glad you called in. Do you know which twin in the Bible tricked his brother because he was well healed?
Jacob.
You are exactly right. Now, I would have accepted Israel. But as it was, I would, you know, Jacob's good. He's perfect. So what about that story grabs your attention, Vicki? Did you get the grab in there?
I think that, even in the womb, God is, working.
You know, isn't that just a fascinating, fascinating story that, like you said, that Jacob is grabbing Esau's heel because he was wanting his birthright instead of his own. Even before he got out, he was wrestling with his brother, but it turned out he got to wrestle with God. And it's just a beautiful thing that Jacob clearly was a hugger, don't you think?
Oh, I believe so. He was.
Well, thank you, Vicki. I appreciate you calling in today. God bless.
Thank you, and appreciate your program.
Oh, thank you. Bye-bye.
How you do?
Oh, I appreciate it. All right, getting back to Bruce, and we barely touched the surface of retirement reformation. So I'm really curious, Bruce, from a standpoint of retirement, that just doesn't sound like something. I used to have this, I do a devotion at a retirement home, and I had this lady, she was 104, named Miss Beck. And she used to go out and get everybody together for the devotion time, or she would get people out to vote, you know, there, and all sorts of things that she would do. And I would say, Miss Beck, you know, at what point in time do you slow down? At what point in time do you put a, you know, brakes on? And she says to me, Robbie, don't you know in Ecclesiastes, and she could quote the scripture, I couldn't tell you, you know, that once you're scripted, you don't get out of the war until the war is over, you know. So when I think about the idea of retirement reformation, I'm going, wow, yeah, we got to be engaged while we're, you know, in retirement, right?
We are. We do indeed. As a matter of fact, I think as most of your listeners would recognize that the term retirement itself is not in the Bible anywhere. And so Miss Beck would not have been able to quote you something from the Bible about retirement. However, we know that when we read the full context of Scripture, that, in fact, we are to be faithful for a lifetime. And the thing that's changed, Robbie, and for your audience, is that the thing that's changed now that actually makes this whole topic and the issues related to it so relevant is that we are living so much longer. I know when I was growing up, and just for your listeners, in case they're wondering, I'm 79. And when I was growing up, you know, you worked to 65 and you died at 67, and if you made 70, you were really old. Well, now for many, 70, and we're just kind of getting started in something new and something special. I certainly got that in my life. And so
I'm hoping, I'm right with you, Bruce.
Yeah, retirement's, you know, not in the Bible. We're to be faithful for a lifetime, and longevity has changed just an awful lot of things that we don't have any experience with.
And so it's time for reformation.
It is totally. As a matter of fact, if we do go on our Bibles, one of the one of the verses is, you know, that probably most of your listeners are familiar with, certainly, you know, Romans 12:2, it says, do not conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so the transforming of our minds on this topic and how it impacts our lives really speaks to the heart of the message of the Retirement Reformation.
Wow. Yeah, it really does. I was thinking about that this morning. You know, to the Jews, it's a water means Torah. So it's a fascinating little story that Rashi, their, you know, great commentator, says about the pit that Joseph was thrown in. He said that there was a scorpion and there were snakes down in there because if there was no water, there was poison. And the point that he was making is that with water comes life, and Torah is water. So as we studied the scriptures, like you're talking about, but since Jesus is the living water, they didn't get that part of it, but I do, is that, oh my goodness, there's all this life at the age of 78 or at the age of 88, right?
Or 98 or 104,
yeah.
Or 55.
Yeah.
So there's the expansion.
And so as you studied those from a financial standpoint, what are you seeing? What are some key insights that you would share with our listeners? You know, we want to keep them hungry for the book, though, by all means. You know, you want to go to Kingdom Pursuits and get that. But what were some things that you shared?
Well, the key of the Retirement Reformation, we really talk about all the things that having to do with those last 30 years of life other than money. When most people hear the word retirement, that's typically the first thing that comes to mind is will I have enough money? And just my own background, I spent 30 years in the financial services industry. And from all that experience with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of clients, what I came to realize is that the reason why so many people don't pay attention to the financial side is because their why isn't big enough to prompt them to take that action, and then they move into those years unprepared, whether it be financially, spiritually, emotionally, relationally. And our research shows that majority of faith-based individuals, as they're contemplating and approaching retirement, when you ask them, what are you going to do in retirement? Their answer is some version, Robbie, listen to this, some version of nothing.
Wow.
Whether they are prepared financially, kind of prepared, not prepared at all, that same answer comes out of nothing. And so, you know, what does that equate to? Well, often it equates to a version of leisure, and then they spend, you know, the next 10, 15 years trying to convince themselves that leisure has meaning and leisure has purpose. I think leisure has value, but probably not meaning and purpose from the standpoint of how God calls us to build the kingdom.
That's, wow, that's helpful. And so, Tracy, you've been hearing all this, and, you know, I'm curious, have you got a poem or something you've been thinking about along these lines?
I have a lot of poems. I can read a short one.
That would be wonderful.
Okay, this one is called Pressure. Life is pressure, but no other thing can measure the freedom that comes from God's only treasure. People believe the universe is surrounded by its pleasure, yet out of all creation, no human has created whole nature. Pressure to be like society without true identity is what we see. Our world has expanded toward immortality. Our hearts are fractured from stress, but we have to press. This is how we find our inner happiness. We must live so we may give a better day to someone else's life. They need to find their way. Take a step back, stop trying to attack. Let's learn to carry each other's back. Be sure to pressure love, joy, sharing, and caring. I'm daring us to stand out, shout, and stop letting the world fill us with self-doubt. I will endure until time finds the cure to heal a nation that doesn't desire to be pure. I'm opening up the gate to reveal a brighter fate. There is too much hate, but it's not too late. We can change and rearrange. Press towards success. I say yes.
Wow.
No, that's beautiful.
Yeah, it absolutely
is. Yeah, Tracy,
is.
We need to connect. That clearly speaks into the issues of the Retirement Reformation in a, you know, both a beautiful and a poignant and an appropriate way. Thank you for that.
Yeah, the thing that jumped out at me is I was listening, Tracy, is this, and I don't know, maybe it's just something God's been working with me lately on, the idea of identity. You know, you said, and when I was thinking about that with you, Bruce, that what is my identity if it is leisure, and which is a lot different than rest, you know? Because, you're 70-something, I'm 64, soon to be 65, and rest has become a bigger part of my life than it used to be, because which is critical. Certainly. But it doesn't change the fact that the in my identity, and fascinatingly, is inside of the word identity, you're going to find baptisms in there, and you're going to find play is in there, and you're going to find hugs are in there, and son is in there, and father is in there, and you have all these things that. But I was watching Maleficent 2 last night, and at the poignant moment in the movie, you know, Aurora, her daughter, looks at her and says, "I know who you are." And like, oh my goodness, that's what you're speaking to right there, Tracy. Like, God knows who you are, and He wants to bring that beautiful young lady that. Or the beautiful young man that's there, Bruce, right?
I would even say the beautiful old lady and the beautiful old man.
Thank you. I'm so glad you said that. I can't tell you. But in that, I love that line. It's just absolutely like, I know who you are. And, you know, I teach special needs and they love it when we see who they are. People love to be seen. It's an amazing thing God gave us. So we got so much more coming up with Bruce and Tracy. Stay tuned. Or maybe you have another answer for our riddle. Or if you want to call in and ask Bruce or Tracy something, maybe you're thinking, I want to know about how to become a spoken word artist. Call us 866-348-7884. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. And speaking of passion, we have next up, as promised, Amy Cabo with The Cure. And if you want a treat, I'm just going to tell you, if you go to the website, you know, godisthecure.com, you can see that Amy streams her podcast live, so you can see Amy. And it's a treat to listen to her show. But you ought to watch her dancing to her music when, you know, she loves her music so much, to see the life and the playfulness and the joy that she has in that music is just like, wow, it'll make your day. But even better than that, today you've got a great guest on, Amy, Alex McFarland. What a great catch.
Hi, Robbie. Thank you. You're too kind. But today we will be addressing moral decay, lawlessness, and anarchy with amazing guest Alex McFarland. Those things we suffer today. And how do we get here? And what can we do to return to a state of normalcy? Robbie, I really liked that better when I lived in my own little bubble where everyone was good and I saw no evil. But that was a bit dangerous. And nowadays, it's too obvious to miss. I hope that we can all come together and find together and in peace and conformity and operation for God's love and one another.
Yeah, He loves it when His kids play well together. And so He's got this wonderful guest, Alex McFarland. And here's an opportunity, because this is a live show. So you're feeling things and you want to express them. What a great opportunity in a Christian format to be able to do that today at 1 o'clock on The Cure. So thank you, Amy, for doing this and for having such great guests on.
Well, thank you, Robbie,
actually. I will be looking forward to listening. So, wonderful, wonderful. Well, last segment, we let Bruce go first, and then we let Amy come. And now this time, I'm going to let Tracy I let Bruce go first, and Tracy got a chance to provide spoken word. So now, Tracy, when you knew you got to, well, that God blessed us to have you on here as a guest today, was there a particular word that you felt him pressing on you, like, this is the one you got to use, this is the one you got to say? So can you share that one with us, Tracy? Are you with us, Tracy? Okay.
Sorry.
No, it's okay.
Did you mean a poem or just speaking about?
Yeah, this is like, what has God put on your heart that you wanted you to share in today's show?
Honestly, this is not a poem. This is just me speaking. Love. I'm piggybacking off of what Amy said. We need to love each other. There's a lot of hate going on, you know, in the world. And for me, nowadays, I use poetry as in a way to bridge that gap, you know, and inspire people to remember to love.
That is so beautiful, Tracy. And it's fascinating to me about last August, John Eldridge, in his weekly podcast, started talking about that he had felt that somehow or another Satan had released out of hell these two horrible spirits on the earth in a way they had never been released before. And they were the spirits of hate and the spirit of death. And this was back last August, and he asked all those listening to that podcast to begin to pray against the spirit of hate and against the spirit of death. And one of the cool ways that he said to pray for against the spirit of death, which clearly we've seen that come to, is to pray the river of life. You know, that's something that you can pray, that the river of life would come in. But this hate, again, I love what you said. There's only one cure for hate, and that is love. Love those who hate you, whatever that looks like. Yesterday, I had never seen this because somebody had sent me this YouTube video of this. Apparently, there was a shooting in Texas of a young black man, and his brother had a chance to speak at the trial of the officer that had shot her brother by mistake. The officer was a young lady, and she'd shot his brother. But that boy sat there and forgave, like, you've never seen anybody forgive in your life. And then while he's sitting on the stand, he says, "Is it all right if I hug you?" to the officer. And then he got down, and this young man, if you aren't in tears watching this young man hug this officer, have you seen that, Tracy?
No, I haven't.
And it was like the most beautiful picture of love in somebody who clearly had every reason in the world to hate. I mean, clearly did, because this young officer made a mistake and shot the young man's brother. But man, what love he had. And I think that's a beautiful word. What are ways
only,
that you...
Only God can do that, though. That's what people need to realize. Like, they're like, how in the world can he love him? Well, it's not, you know, in our human strength. It could never be. That's why we need God in our lives. He fills us. He completes us with that love.
You know what? I just remembered where I saw it. It was on the 700 Club. And that was exactly what the young man said in his statement. Only God could do this. Only God could make that happen. And that is so true. And like, wow, we got chances to practice that all the time. And we got to chances to practice that when we get into our 70s and 80s, don't we, Bruce?
We do. And it continues to be a challenge. It continues to take different formats. One of the things that we know that as we grow older, we kind of do go downhill physically over time and mentally over time. But God has a replacement for that. And those replacements are is that we're able to grow closer to him. We're able to grow spiritually. And that would mean with a greater and new and revised and re-encouraged perspective of love. And then secondly, to be able to grow in our emotional maturity, be able to deal with those really unbelievable difficult issues of life. So as we grow spiritually and we grow emotionally, then God, through the power of His Holy Spirit, can work within us in order to be able to respond to situations, as you've just described, in very other than human ways, but in God's power. So what a beautiful picture.
Yeah, and I think about what you had said earlier about, you know, it wasn't the last generation that they were dying in their 60s and sometimes in their 50s. And, you know, God has allowed us to have a longer lifespan. And, you know, what a precious resource that can be used to further the kingdom through, you know, pressing in on love, because bitterness can happen all too much the worst way, you know, as people get older. And so is there something in the retirement reformation that pushes against bitterness?
Very much so. All those negative emotions and bitterness, and we could, you know, we could talk about, you know, all kinds of others. Those really get magnified when our world becomes smaller and we focus inward. Then those negative emotions grow and take over and become more powerful. And so when we follow the Jesus admonition, and as Tracy talked about it, to love one another, we turn our focus from inward to outward. And as we turn that outward, we're then able to follow Christ's command to love one another and to you know, spread the word and to encourage others. And those negative feelings, things that can control us, those then tend to be minimized, because we also are more open to the power of the Holy Spirit as He moves us forward during those last three stages of life that we call retirement.
Wow, Tracy, I'm giving you an opportunity to forgive me because I accidentally cut you off. So thank you for being patient with me. And when we come back, we're going to hear another one of Tracy's poems, we hope. And we're going to hear more from Bruce. So we got one more segment of Kingdom Pursuits coming up. Stay tuned. Tracy, are you still with us? She will be. She's with us. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. And today, we have poster children for that, no doubt. We have Bruce Breinsma. I hope I'm getting that right, Bruce.
Right on, brother.
And his wonderful book, The Retirement Reformation, which, you know, this is really, for such a time as this, I can really, really tell. I can hardly wait to share this with my good friend Hans with Finishing Well, which is right along these lines. So hopefully we can get Bruce on there soon. And we got Tracy Neal, who is our spoken word poet. It's just beautiful. And absolutely, Tracy, I hope you've got something else to share with us in your from your poetry that you would like to share.
I would. This is a little deep, and I wanted to share briefly that I really appreciate this opportunity because, you know, some people, I'll be honest, as African American, Black, we may not feel like we're welcomed on, you know, other shows other than our own race. So the fact that I'm on here, you know, is to me a testament that, you know, change is coming, and having conversations like this is just, to me, so powerful. So I just wanted to say how much I appreciate that.
Well, I can't tell you how much I'm honored that you would even call and ask to come on. I was really like, oh, absolutely. How wonderful. Couldn't be more excited. And you know, I've not met you, but I can tell by the picture. If you go to kingdompursuits.com and you can link to her website and see her resources, like the joy that's in her face. Oh, my goodness. Were those pictures on your wedding day? They look like they might have been.
What pictures?
I have a picture with you smiling. There was one with your husband, and then you were in the same dress, and then you just had the most delightful smile, and I just thought it was really cool. But anyway, so share what you got for us.
Okay. I'm going to share this one in relation to yesterday, June 10th. I'm going to share this one.
Oh, good.
This is Christian-based, but you'll get the point. From Slavery to Freedom is the name. I've been through the sad trials, gone across miles, and felt like my situation would last for more than a while. I was a real slave. No, I did not have a master for the work of the field, but I had to dig deep into my soul and believe there was a God who wanted me to be free so I could share in his love shield. I have felt the lash of the whip on my backside. My life was a rough ride. People of my own color had turned away since they expressed blind pride. The sun has scorched because I wanted better beginnings, and I thought that the more I cried, it would be a reason of why I died. Yes, I suffered with having to travel amongst deserted roads. Then one day, when my spirit reached its bottom low, a voice called out to me and said, just let it go. I let go of the pain I received for so many years with treacherous tears, and it released my faithless fears. I decided I wanted to be free and let others see that I can make it just by being me. I said to my old master, discrimination, I have found determination. I made a new examination. I allowed God to free me from my past. As I had resurrected joy that would eternally last, I knew I would have to change rather fast. I just walked away from false friends. I landed on freedom once I hit rock bottom. I will not let anyone, someone, everyone, anybody, somebody, everybody turn me back to a hurtful heartache sack. I am free to live. I am free to give. I am free to be wise. But most importantly, I am free to rise.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, I would agree. That is beyond... Wow. Wonderful. And it's fascinating, Tracy, that, just this morning I was on Lantern Rescue talking to these guys who had freed these slaves from making bricks in Pakistan, or I can't remember, Thailand, one of those places. And these were actual children that had been, enslaved to make bricks because they were Christians, not because of any race situation, but because of their religion. And what they shared was similar to your poem on how they had been freed from the bitterness of that and were given this sense of love. And, that's so clearly of God. You couldn't have said it any better. And interestingly, Bruce, those people that are looking at doing nothing in retirement, they've got a wicked slave master as well, don't they?
They really do. As a matter of fact, I'm fascinated picking up on what Tracy was talking about, God's divine appointment. So here we have a show that has a black woman who approximately age 30 and an old white guy who's 79.
Come on.
And when I go to Tracy's website, right underneath her name, it has these words, go, do, and become. Go, do, and become. And a month ago, we issued the Retirement Reformation Challenge that reads like this. Be more than vulnerable and do more than nothing. Be more than vulnerable and do more than nothing. And so across the divide of age, across the divide of race, across the divide of space, in fact, Tracy's go, do, and become, and be more than vulnerable and do more than nothing are siren calls to our whole generation.
Oh, wow. Bruce, that is so amazing. I hate this show's over. We can go on for a lot longer, so we're going to have you both back. Stay tuned. You got so much truth coming at you. Thank you, Tracy. Thank you, Bruce. You guys are amazing guests, and what a great show today. Father's Day Eve.
This is the Truth Network.